Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. This is America's Great Loop Cruisers Association weekly blog radio show. I am Janice Cromer, and I am now the Member Services Coordinator. Before we get started, I would like to just list our Admiral sponsors and thank them so much for their continued support. We've got Curtis Stokes and Associates, Dog River Marina, Passage Maker Trawler Fest, Skipper Bob Publications, and Waterway Guide Media. AGLCA is our acronym, and it's the Organization of Sense of Adventure and Camaraderie that is America's Great Loop. For those not familiar with the loop, it's the continuous waterway that circles the eastern portion of North America. Our association was formed to disseminate information about this awesome journey. For those wishing to learn more about the Great Loop, please visit our website at www.greatloop.org. Non-members can join the association at the site, or anyone can sign up for one of our one-day seminars. They're designed to give you a wealth of information about the cruising lifestyle that's the Great Loop. Our guest hosts this week are Captain Sterling Kennedy and Captain Bill McKay. Captain Sterling has quite a set of credentials with AGLCA, and we're proud to welcome him back to our blog radio show. Besides being both a charter member and a lifetime member of the association, he serves as a harbor host in the Florida Keys. Captain Sterling has completed two loops, both his initial Great Loop and his Master Great Loop. Sterling and Captain Bill do most of their own maintenance work on their trawlers, and they have generously offered to share their expertise. Captain Sterling stays extremely busy. Besides doing all of his maintenance, he runs a charter boat company in Key Largo, Florida. So keep that in mind if you're down in the Keys. Captain Sterling and Captain Bill, welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Excuse me. I'm just going to let you start on what you've prepared for us. I guess my first question is, what's the most important thing to do on your boat?
Keep it running and keep it afloat.
Like that one.
First.
Do you do a daily maintenance routine, or do you have a monthly schedule? How do you keep track of everything that needs to be done?
Well, I'm not real good at keeping track of. Bill's more of that kind of a guy. I'm more of a fix it when it's broke kind of guy, and Bill's a maintenance kind of guy. So we have both ends of the spectrum here.
I have a daily routine. In the morning, I wake up and do breakfast, and then my girlfriend does the cleanup, and I go down in the bilge and just mainly look, check fluid levels, engine oil, transmission oil. Sometimes I look at the cooling fluid, but mostly I just look and see, make sure everything is where it should be, and I don't have any huge leaks. You know, the pan under the engine should be dry, and I put those oil absorbing pads under there, so you know immediately if something's leaking and not right. Take care of it then. It's easier than being 10 miles offshore and finding out that you don't have enough oil to keep the engine running.
Sure. That sounds a lot like Steve, my husband's routine when we're out cruising. Do you work on it with the charter service with Sterling, Bill?
No, I don't. I'm basically a bum. I don't do anything.
Do you go out cruising every day, though?
Oh no. Mostly the boat stays at the dock. My girlfriend works in the school system, so she gets off 3 months in the summer, and that's when the boat moves.
Uh-huh, great. And well, Sterling, do you have a daily routine, or again, you just wait till everything breaks, or anything breaks?
Well, I usually don't have to wait long. I do go to the builds every day and look a little around. That's a good idea, a damn good idea. I do that all the time when I'm cruising. But I don't get to cruise but about 5 or 6 months a year now because I have to run the business down here.
Uh-huh.
That kind of keeps me occupied. You know, I should preface this by all saying that Bill and I both are not two extremely wealthy people. We're not riding on big Hatteras yachts or Grand Banks trawlers. We're on, both our trawlers just turned 30 years old, so we have antique trawlers, which in Florida, of course, gives you a cheap registration. And they're both Florida boats, which means they're highly oxidized on the fiberglass. So we're not real shiny, sparkly kind of boaters with a big fat wallet. We have to fix stuff ourselves because we have to. It's not so much that we want to, but it's what we have to do. And we've learned a few things along the way that saves us some time and trouble just on easy maintenance stuff. I remember I was once coming down on a loop down the Tennessee River system, and this guy was walking around the marina with a big yard sprayer, garden sprayer, where he was taking all the looper boats, spraying down the mustaches, the brown mustache that you get on the front of your hull from the water, with this clear liquid, and he'd walk away saying, just leave it alone, it'll go away. Well, it did. And what he was doing, he was spraying it down with a mixture of Home Depot or Lowe's deck prep and cleaner, diluted 50% with water, and just spraying it on there, and it takes the mustache and the rust stains right off. It's a very inexpensive way to take your mustache off your boat besides scrubbing it off or trying to wash it off with the pre-made chemical that you buy at West Marine.
Uh-huh.
Another thing we found down here, we have white flies. I don't know if you have those up north anywhere, but we've just gotten them a few years recently, and they're a little tiny fly that lives in the trees and will drop on your boat droppings that turn black, much like mildew. And we have a real problem with that. I recently had a boat parked under a tree, and the white fly droppings got all over it in about 3 days. And also that drop group brings in mildew. And the result was I had a boat extremely covered with mildew and white fly droppings. I tried bleach. I tried all kinds of cleaners. Nothing got it off until I tried Tilex's mildew penetration. And that stuff worked excellent.
Did
I put it on the vinyl upholstery. I put it on the canvas. It cleaned it all right up. I did have to recoat the vinyl with a restore to get it back to a flexible state, but it worked really, really well. It's a real good alternative to putting straight bleach on your mildewed items. Another thing we've learned on here is that we don't wax boats like people do up north. At least we don't, because it just doesn't last in the Florida sun.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of our boats get a white finish on them, and if you want to clean that up, I found a product called Deoxing, which you can buy it online, Deoxing, and it's a two-part product. First application, you put on a deoxification remover. You scrub it down with a light sanding pad, and the second one, you coat it with a clear finish liquid, and it comes out almost new from the faded state. So that kind of worked.
I know the Florida sun can be brutal. I mean, it's just, we were there a couple weeks ago, and the weather was chilly, but the sun was still really very, very strong. And now it's really difficult to keep your boat finish the way you want it in Florida.
It's
Do you find maintenance?
The salt water is a real battle.
I'm sorry?
Between the sun and the salt water, it's
salt
a real
water,
battle down
yeah.
there.
Do you get much algae on the bottom of the boat?
Oh, yes. Yeah, funny you should mention that. I just had my bottom done up in Indiantown last December and brought the boat down, and I tried this new paint. And it's a water-based paint. I won't mention the brand. But it was supposed to be the super paint for Florida, and in 3 months I had all kinds of growth.
Wow.
So we do get a heavy growth. You got to use a very expensive bottom paint down here to get a good prevention.
Yeah. Okay, what about, what breaks down most often on your boat? Do you have problems with the generator or the engines or... the props? What's the most troublesome?
I have Bill's pups, which problems. That seems to be one of my things that go out on a regular basis. I have since changed. Yeah, this is automatic Bill's pump. I have changed to all one brand of Bill's pump switches on every pump because there were several different kinds on my boat. I have quick disconnects on the end of the wires, and I have spare Bill's pump switches on the boat, so I can change the Bill's pump switch in probably 3 minutes. And if you buy them, I buy mine at West Marine. I get a 5-year warranty on them for almost nothing. It's really painless to change a Bill's pump switch that way.
Uh-huh.
Everything you buy from West Marine that you can get the extended warranty on, get it. West Marine materials, West Marine items that they're buying, the quality has dropped a lot lately, I think.
Really?
And electrical switches. So if you don't get the warranty, you got a problem. I bought a brand new head from West Marine 1.5 years ago. I had to replace a macerator pump, and that's in only 5 months use in 1.5 years. So,
oh, wow.
Keep going out on this. And so you get that warranty, it's well worth the investment on it.
Uh-huh.
Anything electrical is well worth the little bit they charge extra for the warranty.
Especially like stereos. Well, we go through stereos down here like people go through blue jeans, you know. I mean, they'll last a year maybe, and then they go bad. So if you buy a stereo, you buy the warranty on, and that covers the speakers too, which go bad with weather.
Uh-huh.
You can't beat that warranty, West Marine.
And there seems to never be a problem at West Marine changing it. You know, they don't question you about why it's bad or what. They replace it. I like that.
Well, that's
maybe
good to know, at least. And they stand behind their products.
Yes, they do that. Very well at that. That's a good thing about them.
Uh-huh.
But they're not the cheapest people in town by any stretch.
Well, they seem so many times the most convenient because there's so many stores all over the... I don't know about the river system, but I know on the East Coast, West Marine is just about in every major boating center.
Yeah, they're everywhere. Even in Canada, I went to West Marine, so
They
seem to be just about everywhere. I mean, that's the good part about them, and they can get you stuff, but they've become so big, I think they're kind of getting too big for their own good. We ought to talk a little bit about ice machines if you want to.
Sure.
Anyone has ice machines on board, they know that they are real or can be a real problem. The obvious thing is when you're cruising, unless you're running your generator all the time, you're turning your ice machine on and off while you're cruising, back on while you've got your generator plugged into the marina, and that creates an ice problem, and then it becomes a block of ice usually. What we've done, and I have an ice machine on my boat. I bought one of those $150 ice machines from Home Depot.
Uh-huh.
You can get them online that you pour water into and makes your own ice, and it works on 110 volts. It does not keep the ice, but it makes ice. And I found that if I plug that into my inverter in the beginning when I'm starting to cruise and let it run 24 hours a day, for about 3 days, I'll build up enough stockpile of ice to last me several days. And after that point, I can go into a marina and plug it in to make ice. And all this ice I'm throwing into the freezer, so I have a good stockpile of ice. Whereas the ice machine, I kept having problems with it locking up, freezing up, and breaking down on me. So I think that's a real good alternative for some people that don't want to buy the ice machine.
If you don't have a stockpile, it'll make ice in about 10 minutes, which is awful nice when you stop.
Yeah.
Cocktails in 10 minutes.
I'm telling you.
Got to wait those 10 minutes.
Yeah.
What about electronics on the boat? Do you have a lot of electronics, or do you kind of rely on the old-fashioned methods?
Well, any more electronics-wise, all I use is a GPS, a Garmin that has all the charts in it, and my iPad. And I can't say enough about the iPad. Bill will agree with me on that.
Oh, yeah.
iPads are phenomenal for cruising. If you can't do it on your iPad, you probably don't need to do it. They have apps for just about every application you could think of. As an example, I use iPad for my weather radar. I use iPad to navigate with, in addition to my GPS. So I have one going where I'm going to, and then my iPad I use to see where I'm going to my next spot. I'll use iPad for tidal predictions, which you can also use your Garmin for. It's just unlimited. Some of the apps that I found are very helpful. I use WindFinder for wind predictions, which is pretty accurate. My Radar Pro for radar. I use the Garmin Blue Chip program for navigation planning. I act as Captain's Card Exchange for finding other active captain members, and other loopers actually are on that too. Active Captain Jeff came out with a program called Drag Queen, which it's great. You get to where you're anchored at. You set up the distance you want your boat to move before the alarm goes off. Of course, you do this after you set your anchor. And you turn on your Drag Queen, it'll beep and wake you up and tell you that you're dragging. That's a real nice feature.
Uh-huh. I'm going to interrupt you, gentlemen, for a minute. I would like to just do a commercial from one of our Admiral sponsors, Dog River Marina. So just give me a minute, please.
AGLCA Admiral sponsored Dog River Marina is located at the mouth of the Tenton Waterway in Mobile, Alabama, only 22 miles from the Gulf of Mexico. The marina encompasses 95 slips, 80 of which are sheltered. They offer a ship store, courtesy car, rental cars, 24-hour guard service, and shore power. The complex's full-service repair facility is staffed with highly trained personnel to handle everything from simple repairs to complex overhauls. For more information, visit www.dogriver.com.
Slow down. Here we'll talk about.
Okay, Sterling and Bill, I know you had a lot of material prepared for us. What would you like to cover next?
How about, when I was cruising a couple of years ago, I had a problem with my air conditioner wouldn't cool. And I, after a lot of research, found a product called Barnacle Buster. Barnacle Buster is a chemical that you use to clean shell stuff out of your heat exchangers in, you know, your air conditioner or your engine. I've used this stuff, and it is a miracle worker. I think it's about $80, $60 to $80. You can get a gallon, which will convert to 5 gallons. What I do is I close the seacock for the engine, open the strainer, start the engine, and I pour the diluted into the engine. You buy 1 gallon and you get 5. You know, you dilute it with water.
Uh-huh.
Pour it into the engine until I poured 4 gallons into my C strainer. Shut the engine off, leave it sit for a couple of hours, put the cover back on your C strainer, open the C cock, and start the engine up. You won't believe the amount of stuff that comes out of your exhaust, and everything in that system, I've opened it up, is shiny. Same thing with the air conditioner. I circulated mine with a bilge pump through the air conditioner because I thought it was stopped up more than what it really was. But either way, you can leave the stuff in the air conditioning system doing it the same way. Seacock, pour it in the sea strainer. Let the air conditioner suck it up into it. It cleans the system. It worked miracles for my air conditioner and my engine. I cannot recommend it enough.
And you weren't afraid to try it on your air conditioning system?
Pardon me?
You didn't have any hesitation in trying it on the air system?
No. You know, it just goes through the raw water system.
Uh-huh.
And it's not going to harm anything in your system, you know. So
okay.
and it's recommended. The company recommends it that way.
Uh-huh.
Like I said, we had a problem, and I don't know if you know how bad it is to be in Everglades City without any air conditioning.
I can only imagine.
It's still bad. It's real bad. And,
yeah.
And speaking of that, I would, you know, my me and my girlfriend cruise the boat. My grandson and nephew also go with us on the boat when we cruise it. Have been for the last 4 years, and my grandson's now 9. So he's been on. But this last year we cruised south to Key West, which is 100 miles. So we did a long trip. But the boys have gotten to the age where they like to use telephones and iPads. You know, early in the morning, they won't come out of the V-berth until like 11 or 12 o'clock. Gets pretty hot up in there, and I don't run the generator, you know, in the morning. Once we get moving, the generator goes off, and it was really hot up there. So I made them a stopped in Marathon, Florida, and I made them a air scoop for the front of the boat, $28 worth of material. It did a absolute wonderful job of keeping the whole inside of the boat cool and refreshing. You know what I'm saying? The air gets kind of stale inside the boat with the air conditioner and everything. So if you blow that fresh air through the boat all day, it seems to make everything nicer for us.
Uh-huh.
It helps cool down your boat after a day's cruising.
Yes, it does.
I wanted to mention something I found. I thought it was a pretty neat find. It's a company called Simply Safe, and they make a home-designed burglar alarm system. But the reason that I wanted it is this system is wireless. It hooks up wirelessly. The batteries are rechargeable and last for 5 years. It has its own built-in cell phone. You can buy smoke detectors, heat detectors, water sensors, which is the reason I bought it, because I wanted to put some water sensors in my bilge in case I'm not on board. It will text me or call me at my option and tell me what's going on. It's got electric failure reports, everything you could possibly want in a boat alarm system. It's only $600 roughly. And if you can, you can sign up for $15 a month, as long or as short as you want to. You can cancel at any time, and you don't even need to sign up. It'll still work without being signed up. It just won't text you.
Uh-huh.
I thought it was a great find for boaters. I'm surprised everybody hasn't got one. It's a lot of peace of mind when you leave your boat stored somewhere and you've got a system that'll tell you if it's getting hot or smoky or high water in the bilge. Just kind of nice to have.
Sure.
Anything
so
that we
ever had a mechanical problem on the boat that you couldn't fix and you needed to call a mechanic or an electrician?
Yeah. Sorry for complete engine failure. You want to go down from there? I call it blessed that I know what I can fix and what I can't. I am not a mechanic. Bill, on the other hand, and I shouldn't tell you this, but he's a retired airline mechanic. He knows what he's doing. I can bolt something on and off, and that's about it. So when I have something I know is beyond my expertise, I had a fuel pump that started leaking on my starboard engine about 3 months ago. I knew I couldn't take it off and rebuild it and reprogram the fuel to it, so I hired somebody to do that. I just know what I can and can't do. Usually I'm right about that. And every time I've tried to do something beyond my expertise, it costs me more than if I'd have hired somebody.
Just hired somebody in the beginning, gotten it over with. I'm assuming
yeah,
you can change your own oil.
I do most of my own stuff. I would say I do 90% of my own repairs like myself. And most of the repairs I find on a boat are not major stuff. It's usually small things.
Really?
Anything internal on an engine, I wouldn't touch that.
Uh-huh.
You know, rings or bearings or anything of that nature. But a lot of the external items, such as intercoolers and alternators and starters, we'll do ourselves. In fact, we did a starter on my starboard engine, which is against the bulkhead. And then on this particular boat, I've got Billy was there. I've got about 6 inches of clearance. So I had Bill, a retired airline mechanic, and another buddy of yours who's a retired airline mechanic, and myself. And it took us 2 days to change the starter because it took one guy to hold the starter up, one guy to hold the starter in place, and one guy to turn the wrench, and all doing it blind and stretching without seeing what you're doing.
The starter weighed 55 pounds.
Yeah, that was another problem. So
we're having to hold it up string.
So looking back on that one, I probably should hire somebody. Anyone who has any questions on any of this stuff that we're talking about, or if I'm not clear about it, just go on the AGLC site and you can contact me through that, and I'll be happy to talk to you about it on email, or you can call me up personally if you want to.
Nice of you. Thank you.
Can I give out my
phone
number?
We are just about out of time. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Let's see. What? Snowball on the boat?
No, the little stuff we use for corrosion.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You mentioned changing the oil.
When I change
the oil on the boat, and I do it at half the time that the manufacturer says, the manufacturer called for. I have a Ford Lehman. They call for 200 hours between engine oil changes. I change mine about at 100 hours, which is about what I use the boat. And whenever I change the engine oil, I change everything, you know, the filters. Then I change, I exercise the seacocks in every position on the boat. Everywhere there's a hole in the bottom of the boat, I move that valve every time.
Uh-huh.
And then I spray the whole engine with corrosion block, which is, you know, I know you're not supposed to recommend anybody's stuff, but I do. It's good stuff. I spray the whole engine except for the fan belt with corrosion block. Same thing. I go up to the front of the boat, and I spray the whole circuit breaker panel. It eliminates corrosion, which is one of your major problems, especially with electrical. And on an electrical system, if you have an electrical problem, 12-volt stuff, it's normally the negative wire. That's just a general rule. If you have a problem with an electrical system where it's not getting power, it's probably the negative wire. That's where you need to start. If you're troubleshooting and you're trying to find a short or a broken wire, that's where you need to go first.
You should tell about a bucket of corrosion block on the radio.
What? Oh, okay. Years ago, I was at an EEA, Experimental Aircraft Association, seminar up in Lakeland, Florida, and Corrosion Block had a booth there, and they took a aircraft radio and put it right in a bucket of corrosion block. And everybody was using it to talk. The stuff is wonderful.
It does not conduct electric.
It's expensive.
Yes, it is.
But I mean, how expensive it is to call somebody out to come work on your radio because you've got a little bit of corrosion on one of the connectors, you know? It's just work.
In my next life, I'm either going to be a surgeon or a marine mechanic. I'm not sure which. They both make about the same money.
That's interesting, Sean. That's typical of you. Well, I think that's about it. If you have anything else, again, Sterling has offered, you can use our membership directory, and you can get his email address or his phone number. Sterling, do you prefer email?
To begin with, yes, please.
Okay, great. Thank you very much for that offer. And until next week, Sterling, do you want to close with something special?
Remember, if your boat ran like your car, you'd ride a horse.
Thank you. Bill, thank you very much, too. Everyone has
safe.
Until next week, signing off, Janice from AGLCA. Bye-bye, Bill. Bye, Sterling.
Bye-bye.